that's such a significant difference that we need to see. Paul is not so much consumed by what's going on around him, but he's saying God is doing something within me. And as I tap into that, my confidence in God is growing. Now, what I want us to see this morning, because I think this is so incredibly striking, is Paul is actually speaking from prison. As he writes the letter to the Ephesians, here is a man who's in chains. He's surrounded by rats and mold and nastiness and hunger and chains. He's a man who's limited in his ability to move around. He's guarded constantly. He's restricted. Paul is a man who doesn't actually know what's going to happen to him tomorrow. And yet, as we listen to his words this morning, would you notice with me that they're not filled with fear or with frustration or with doubt, but they're words that carry clarity and purpose and even a sense of boldness. A place of confinement, and yet he is filled with some sense of spiritual freedom. Dark surroundings, but he is illuminated by this unshakable hope. Now, I think all of that should lead us to ask the question, how? How is it possible, given his circumstance, that Paul can have that kind of confident hope, that kind of confident faith? And I think the answer is this, is Paul isn't looking at his situation, but Paul is a man who's anchored in his sense of calling before God. Paul knows who it is who he belongs to, but he also knows what it is he's doing for the God that he belongs to. He knows who he belongs to, and he knows what he's called to do before that God. So even in the middle of a storm, even in the middle of hardship, God is still forming something within him. God is still giving to him a hope and a future. There's very much this sense, isn't there? Yes, my circumstances are dire, but God isn't finished with me yet. God is not finished with me yet. And I wonder whether or not some of us need to hear that this morning. We're wrestling with something that's tough and very difficult, and it might feel like our circumstances are limiting us, but actually God would say to you today, I'm not finished with you. In fact, I might even use that difficult thing that you're going through for my glory and in order to bless and help another person. So let's have a look, quick look together. If you've got a Bible, thanks Shirley for dishing them out. It's always great. Just to say, there's always Bibles. Grab one when you come in from the prayer ministry corner if you don't have one with you. We're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 3 as we continue looking at this amazing letter. Keep your Bibles open because we'll come back to it. This is verse 1. Paul says, for this reason, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles, he's reintroducing himself. I'm a prisoner for Christ Jesus, he says. Surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in order in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. Wow, this is tough to read. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together in one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. Did you notice how Paul introduces himself? He introduces himself as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. He doesn't say, I'm a victim of Rome. He doesn't say, hi, I'm Paul, and do you know what? I am a victim of the most terrible injustice. Hi, I'm Paul, and I've been treated so very unfairly. I'm in prison, and I don't deserve to be here. But actually, he would have had the right to have introduced himself in that way because it was true. You see, Paul here in this moment refuses to frame his life through the poor me lens of looking at the world. He doesn't sit there wallowing in his self-pity. He doesn't rehearse his losses to this church that have got his ear. He doesn't build his identity around what's been done to him, but he says very boldly and confident, I am a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Now, I think that small phrase changes absolutely everything. He's refusing here to allow his circumstances to define his identity. Instead, he interprets his situation through God's purpose and what God seemed to be doing in his life. And I want to suggest to us this morning, if you want to be somebody who grows in their faith confidence, then that's where you need to begin. Paul, in short, is saying your calling is more stable than your circumstance. In other words, if your identity is in Christ Jesus, and it doesn't matter how wobbly the rest of life is, actually you're still standing on a firm foundation. Even in prison, Paul knows that he belongs to Christ. Even in prison, Paul knows that he's been entrusted with this good news, this gospel message that he has to share with others. Even in prison, Paul knows that his life has a purpose beyond that which he can see. Did you notice three times in the text, or you will notice because there's more coming, he uses the word mystery. I love that phrase. I love the idea that as I journey with God, there's something of a mystery to it. There's something that I don't know, something that I don't understand, that tomorrow I might discover something about God that I don't know today. Do you know what that makes the journey of faith exciting? That we haven't got God all nailed down and boxed up. This is worse than a woman trying to sort their bra strap out, isn't it? Do excuse me for just a milli moment. Sorry, that was probably an inappropriate comment. I might have Tourette's. You see, God knows that God is bigger than his boundaries, that which confines him. God knows that God's vision for Paul's life is bigger even than Paul's expectations. So Paul speaks about this mystery and he says, look, by the mystery of God, here in prison, somehow I am engaged in this gospel message of taking this good news to the Gentiles. Somehow, by the mystery of God that I still haven't fully understood, God is able to use me despite my circumstances. You see, confidence grows when we stop asking, what's happened to me? Faith confidence grows when we start asking instead, what is it that God has entrusted to me? Because when you know your calling, and when you know to whom it is you are called, insecurity starts losing its grip on you. When you know your calling and to whom it is you're called, comparison starts to lose its power. It doesn't matter whether we're leading a church of 5 people or 5,000 people. If this is where God has called and I'm called to serve in Jesus' name, then that's okay. I don't need to compare myself to the mega church down the road. You see, when we know our calling and to whom it is we're called, then purpose starts to steady our hearts. We have a reason for breathing, a reason for getting out of bed every day. Now, there's something really important I want us to notice in the text, and it's this. At no point does Paul deny his chains. At no point does Paul look at his captivity like some kind of twisted masochist and say, oh, this is great, isn't it? I love it dwelling in a prison. I love it being wrapped up in chains. God, you're so good. He names his reality that he's a prisoner, but he chooses to redefine his reality around God's purposes. And that shift, when we can start to understand it and experience it, really changes our mindset as we journey with life. Self-pity suddenly starts to shrink in our world. The trouble with self-pity is it makes everything revolve around us and around our pain. Have you ever noticed that in your own circumstance or in others? But actually, if we can start to look at the things that we're going through and we can lift our purpose up and our eyes up to the idea that God has us or what God sees, then it reminds us that even in challenge, God is still writing a bigger story around us. So instead of being trapped in poor me, Paul actually here is living with the idea of that God is still working through me. Not poor me, but God is still working through me. I hope you saw that. Well, let's move on. Verse 7, it says this. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I'm less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. Now, Paul says three things here. He says, firstly, I became a servant of the gospel. Secondly, he says it happened by a gift of God's grace. And then thirdly, he says, I'm the least of the least. I'm the lowest of all of God's servants. Now, I think that's a really striking tension. Here is Paul recognizing his incredibly high calling before God, and yet he's recognizing his low estimation. And yet somewhere in the mix of that, he still has this really strong confidence. Why? Because Paul's confidence is not rooted in his past. It's not rooted in his present performance. It's not rooted in what might happen tomorrow or his personal worthiness. Paul's confidence is rooted in God's grace. Oh no, here he goes again about grace. Haven't we heard enough about grace in the last 4 or 5 weeks? Well, the minute we stop talking about grace in Ephesians, we're not preaching it right, because grace runs through every single aspect of this story. Did you spot it in our text this morning? You see, the reality is if we get bored about hearing about the grace of God, then the truth is we're bored with God himself, because grace is at the very core of who he is and it's written into his DNA. And Paul here is saying all this amazing stuff, that it's by the grace of God that I'm able to be in prison. And yet it's by the grace of God that I'm able to be this effective witness to the gospel. You see, God's grace does at least two things in our life at the same time. Firstly, it humbles us. It reminds us that actually we're not worthy to be in relationship with God. But secondly, at the same time, it strengthens us somehow, doesn't it, God's grace? It reminds us that God is at work in us. Yes, I'm not worthy, and yet still at the same time, God is a God who is at work within me. That's what God's grace can do. And I wonder if this morning you're somebody who kind of hesitates in their journey of faith, who maybe lacks a sense of faith confidence. Maybe today you feel, well, I'm not ready, I'm not spiritual enough, I'm not qualified. Well, I think what Paul reveals to us this morning is God doesn't wait for us to feel adequate. There was nothing adequate about Paul's circumstances, and yet God was still able to use him. You see, it seems to me that God is able to work through inadequacy. It's in our weakness that God is able to be strong. So real confidence sounds like this. It says, I don't have everything, that's true, but God is faithful. Real confidence says, I am not perfect, but God is still at work within me. And you see, this is what I've discovered as I've wrestled with those truths. That kind of confidence, when it's rooted in God, when it's on the foundation of what God has done for me because of his grace, it doesn't collapse and fall apart when I find myself under pressure. When life goes tough and it goes wonky, it stays stable because it's built on the foundation of God and his grace and the work of Jesus Christ. It's not built on me in the first place. If you want to be more confident in your walk of faith, then make sure that you're stood on the foundation of Jesus and his grace. Let's read on. I'm going to start reading halfway through a sentence, which is going to really annoy the English purists. So he says all that, and then he says, and to make plain to everyone the administration of his mercy, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. I love that phrase, the manifold wisdom of God. It's sometimes referred to, if you're a gardener, you're like this, the variegated wisdom of God. Or if you like other words, the multifaceted wisdom of God. There's so much to God's wisdom that we don't know and understand. And Paul's revealing that. He's talking about the manifold wisdom of God made known to the rulers and the heavenly realms through the church, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You see, Paul is kind of zooming out at this moment because Paul knows that actually this isn't about his story in and of itself. He wants to talk about the much bigger story about what God is doing in his eternal plans and purposes in Christ. Paul is recognizing here that his life is connected to something that's way bigger than himself. In fact, his story is connected to God's story somehow. And as he thinks about that, he puts his current wrestle in his current season in perspective. As he thinks about God's eternal purpose and that he's living this much of a much, 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 much bigger plan in eternity, he puts his own struggles and the place of prison in its place. And I want to remind you this morning that if you've come to faith in Christ, then you're part of a story that began long before you ever existed. And you're part of a story that will continue long after you're gone. Now, I say that not to discourage you. I say that to encourage you that the moment, the little dot that actually we get to experience in this life, the journey of faith, is really, really significant. God says it is. And God wants to say to us this morning, you know, that tiny little dot that you live in the big scheme of eternity, I want to do something in you. I want you to have a hope in me. I want you to be an ambassador for this gospel. I want you to live out your faith with confidence. Would you be encouraged in knowing that that little thing that you're living out, God delights in? And he's working all of that somehow in the mystery of the much bigger plan that he's working out for eternity. You see, your tiny little piece is part of a much bigger eternal plan, and it's part of the eternal plan God is working out. That makes you significant if you're in Christ today. You see, when we get that kind of helicopter perspective, which is what Paul is doing as he zooms out here, he's reminding us that if we don't have that eternal hope, then actually our problems feel random. If we don't have that eternal hope, then suffering and difficult things that we go through in life actually have no purpose and they're pointless. As he zooms out to that eternal purpose, he's saying, look, even when life sometimes feels uncertain, and let's be honest, it does, it's still being worked out in God's plan in the whole of eternity. And if we can start to grasp that, then challenges that come our way actually become tools that God can use to shape us more into the likeness of Christ. Delays that come our way. Graham, thanks for sharing. It was me that was praying that your house would fall through 2 years ago. Don't mention it. But what I loved about Graham and Pauline's story is when we met with them pastorally and tried to work out together what on earth God was doing, because it seemed so right that they should be moving to Suffolk. We just said, God, reveal your plans and your purposes. And Graham and Pauline, God did some great stuff for you in the last 2 years. Some really challenging, exciting stuff. And I can see how God's delay actually was about fulfilling a different purpose through your ministry here amongst us. I've stopped praying against you moving. You can now go. But you see, if we can get that eternal purpose, then even setbacks and difficulties in life can have some kind of greater purpose. And I don't know what you're wrestling with today. Some of us are struggling with ill health. Some of us are really struggling this morning with relational difficulties. Some of us are struggling with financial difficulties, employment difficulties, housing challenges. I just wonder whether or not you can see that through the lens of God maybe this morning, and he might just say to you, do you know what, I'm doing a little something in you, even as you wrestle with this thing. You see, struggle shapes our character. And as our character is shaped, there's a chance even through the difficult things, as well as the good things, we become more like Jesus. That can only be a good thing. But as we're going to go on to see in my final point in just a second as well, even through our struggles, God can accomplish something for somebody else as we wrestle with something that's difficult for us. Let's read on. Verse 12 says this. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and with confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. Can you hear Paul is saying two things happen here when we find ourselves in a tough place and we can have that eternal perspective. He's saying the first thing that happens is we start to discover who we are in Christ. And when we discover who we are in Christ, we can know a new confidence and we can know freedom. I love the images. I approach my Father God that he just smiles at me. He delights for me to go into his presence. He doesn't want me to be timid and afraid and fearful and full of insecurity as I approach him. He wants me just to run into his arms and to be embraced with him. Paul is saying, put your challenges in perspective, the eternal perspective, and as you do that, you can run with greater freedom into the presence of your Heavenly Father. But then as he goes on in verse 13, did you notice the astonishing thing that he said? He said, these difficult things I'm going through now, these restrictions, these chains, this prison is accomplishing something really great. And he says, it's for your glory. Isn't that amazing that Paul is saying, I'm having a really tough time, but somehow God is working out something here, which is going to be good for you, the Ephesian church. And I find that really challenging because there's some stuff that I'm dealing with at the moment. There might be some stuff that you're dealing with, which might just help somebody else come to faith. There's some stuff that maybe you're dealing with that might just be something that really encourages another brother or sister in Christ to keep going with Jesus when otherwise they might have been tempted to give up. I wonder if you know who you are today in Christ Jesus. You're somebody who is loved by a God who loves you without measure. You're somebody today who he loves to run into his presence because he delights in you as his child. You're somebody today who has an eternal perspective. You're part of God's eternal plan. You're somebody today who, even if you're going through something really tough, God is with you in that tough thing, And he might even be using that tough thing, even if he's not caused it, to shape you and mold you more into the likeness of Jesus. But to your somebody today who, even in your wrestles and your struggles, could be a blessing and encouragement, even a witness to somebody else. That's the God we serve. Will you enjoy your relationship with God? And as you enjoy it, I really just pray that God would grow your confidence and give you an ever-increasing sense of his hope in your life. I pray that for me, and I'm going to pray it now for you. Let's pray together. Lord God, I want to thank you so much for the honesty of Paul here. Thank you that he doesn't deny his chains, but Lord, thank you that he's able to redefine them. And Lord, I want to pray for me, as I pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ today, that we have a confidence, we'll have a confidence that is rooted in you, which is on the firm foundations of you. Lord, I pray today that if we're wrestling with insecurity, if we're wrestling with fear, then Lord, free us from that, I pray. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us see your calling over our life to walk in relationship with you, that Lord, as we see that, we'll trust ever more in your grace, and that we will walk ever more confidently, ever more boldly into the plans and the purposes that you have for us. We pray together in Jesus' name. Amen.